You sit there and you thump your Bible and you say your prayers and it didn't get you anywhere. You talk about your Psalms, you talk about your John 3:16. Austin 3:16 says, I just whooped your ass. I don't care what the card says. You're listening to Take Two Takedown with your host John and Craig. And that's the bottom line, because Stone's Cold said so. Give me a hell yeah.
Welcome back, folks, to a very special episode of Take Two Takedown. It's so exciting that John is just Cesaro, double gun pointing, fist pumping all over the place. It's that exciting. There are so many things to talk about on this episode. We have to cover Raw 25.
Raw 25.
Just aired last night.
Watch the whole thing.
It was amazing.
Amazing.
And then after we cover Raw 25, mm-hmm, as best mm-hmm, we can, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you then will see the episode change.
Yep.
There's going to be a switch.
Yep.
A swerve.
Yep.
A little bit of a jump and jive.
Yep.
And a whale.
Yep.
Because then we will switch to live recording from this evening SmackDown.
We're there live, baby.
We will be there live. If you don't believe us, check out our Twitter.
Yeah.
We said so.
I basically called Mojo out. I said, do you know what? If you are going to be in DC live, so am I.
So am I. We will be there. So, Hype Bros, getting it together.
Yeah. Yeah, Hype Bros.
I mean, all three of us, right?
Hype Bros.
Me, you, and
Thyroid Bros.
Me, well, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but yeah, we're going to be there.
We're going to be there. So
you can't miss us. We'll be the big guys in 2X t-shirts.
Right. You won't be. We'll blend. We won't blend in with anybody.
No, we stand out like sore thumbs.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you'll hear some nice Raw coverage, and then we'll switch to our beautiful live episode, which I already am sure is going to be the best thing we've ever done.
Yeah, I think it's Oscar worthy.
Yeah, right? Obviously.
Because those came out today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, speaking of those, if you are a TV movie person, you should go to our parent site, Take Two Podcast.
Yes, yes.
They just did a big thing on all the award shows.
And all the award
now,
shows.
The ladies of Take Two are getting bitchy about who got an award and what have you.
Now, getting a little catty with those Oscar noms that came out.
Real men with testicles could care less.
Right, and talk about things like wrestling.
Yeah, but those that wear women's undergarments, like one Tony Dizzle.
Right, right.
And Brian Sexless.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's all they live for.
That, you know, and their panties are all in a bunch now.
So if you're into that stuff and you want a panty bunch, then you can go ahead and listen to those two.
Listen to Take Two Podcasts. They'll talk about it. Follow them on Twitter.
Now, if you have a man question,
If you have a man question, you contact us either through our Twitter, at Take Two Takedown, or through our new mailbag segment, which is my favorite part of the episode.
I love
now.
This one.
All right. Our triple T-bag mail segment.
And we are getting more mail than we thought.
We are getting more mail than we ever thought we would.
So we're kind of paring it down to the best one or ones that we get during the week.
Because we want to give you guys the best. And let's be honest, most of the people that email us are dumb.
Yeah.
And their questions are stupid.
Well, some of them don't even email questions. It's more like comments like, you guys are gods.
Right.
How did we ever survive without you? I mean, those kinds of things.
And,
right.
And while I appreciate it, and I understand why, just stop it with the dick pics, people.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right? Enough. I mean, you're disgusting. We don't want it.
No.
No. So just stop it.
No.
You're not going to get anywhere with us with that.
No, we are not easy.
No.
We're gentlemen.
We are gentlemen, and we prepare to be wooed.
Yes. We want the wooing.
We want the wooing. But we did have one this week.
Yes,
from our
one.
tripletbag@gmail.com.
Who is it?
tripletbag@gmail.com.
So he got it right, but what's his name?
His name is one Mr. Marty E.
Big shout out to Marty E. I wonder if that's what he sounds like when he's fornicating.
Probably. Probably.
If there's anybody that would ever fornicate
with
him.
It's like that song we often reference, Make Him Say at the beginning part when he calls and it's, oh, is this P? No, this P. Who this?
Who this?
P, let me hear you say That's how you say Marty E, right?
Yeah, Marty E. Anyway, big shout-outs to Marty E.
Marty E had two very important questions.
Ooh, do tell.
First.
For you or me?
Right. For both.
Okay,
for both
of us. Okay, okay.
First, a statement.
Yes.
He says, I can tell by your musical voices
that you are both handsome men.
Lyrical, melodious, yes, right. Yes. Oh, God, we are gorgeous
but
men.
But who is the one better looking one? And this is hard.
This isn't
hard just because not only are we both attractive in many senses of the word, clothed or unclothed, but we pretty much get recognized for each other all of the time.
We are asked if we are twins.
Yes, twins, brothers.
Brothers. I got
called John twice today.
I'm what, 50 to 60 years older than you?
At minimum. Yeah. I'm 22.
And
you're 104.
Okay, there we go. So I'm Methuselah to your Adam, but
right.
You know, however it works. But no, I mean, it's kind of funny. Like, we really do kind of look alike.
Right.
Both right. With beards.
Because we're both middle-aged white guys with beards.
Yeah.
And who wear wrestling t-shirts.
Maybe a little heavy set.
I like to call that more thick.
Thick. Yes, we may be thick.
Big boned.
We got the twerking butts.
Right, right. We're shopping the husky aisle at Kmart.
Husky.
Husky. That's who we are.
Not fat. Husky.
No, husky. But so I don't know who's the more better looking.
I'm going to go with me.
Okay. I mean, I understand why you would say that, because you are not only look like me, you're also pretty self-centered.
No.
And it has very selfish.
Nothing to do with being self-centered and selfish. Mm-hmm. It's just that I am that much better than you.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much the world revolves around me. I mean, 2018 is the world of John Demigod.
I mean, we did establish that. It happened in a text message between each other. So therefore, I assume it's truth and gospel.
Yeah, but we never established Craig as anything this year.
No.
Yeah. No.
Craig's just the monkey that hits the record button. That's all I do.
So 2018, John Demigod, Craig.
Right.
Button pushing monkey.
2045, when I reach the same age as you are now. That'll be the year of Craig.
It's just so wrong. I'm not that much older than you.
2045.
Bastard. It's like 2043.
But that's not the only question that one Mr. Marty, I'll sleep with everything, E, says.
Ooh.
All right.
The E stands for everybody.
Everything and everybody. Everywhere.
He hit everything.
Everybody.
So it's not enormous dick, which he probably is.
No, that right. He is.
Not has.
No.
Is.
No, is.
Okay.
Is. He had another
Once again,
important question.
Big shout out to Marty Enormous.
Ego?
No.
Head?
No. Ass?
Adam's apple?
We don't know. It's androgynous.
That's true. Marty could be a boy or a girl.
Party Marty?
Party Marty? Farty Marty?
Marty McFly?
No, that's way too cool.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Way too cool. All right, on to his other question.
Yes.
He says, now, with all of the controversy surrounding her, will China ever be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
She is a very attractive man, not like us.
Right, not like us, exactly. I
mean, all three of us are very attractive
Very men. Attractive men.
So with that being said, mm-hmm. I mean... Do you judge China
mm-hmm.
on her character as the wrestler and allow her outside life to be just that?
Right, right.
I mean, if that was the case, like, are you going to bring in Trish Stratus, who did porn?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And am I supposed to forget that Mickie James also did porn?
Well, they...
So am I...
Right, WWE has a tendency to just, when they want to, they forget things happened. You know, they pretend the whole Trish Stratus porn did not happen. Well,
and
they pretend Mickie James porn did not happen. Like,
and I'm going to say, like, then are we going to go to the drug problems where, I mean, come on, you've got how many inducted superstars that had addiction to drugs?
Exactly.
That did steroids.
For years,
I mean, you're going to tell me the Ultimate Warrior and all that were just all natural. They
all
never did
natural.
Steroids or anything.
Nope.
So I'm going to say this. If I am looking at the character and their feats in the ring, I will say, bring China in.
I agree.
Play up the positives, let go of the negatives, appreciate what we've gotten from it and not the distraction from it.
And I think to say that China didn't make an impact on WWE.
The ninth fucking wonder of the world.
Is ridiculous. You have to admit that she did.
And come on, we loved watching him wrestle every time he came
out. Every single time he wrestled and he came out with that bra, I didn't understand.
Well, I mean, he maybe had gender dips.
Maybe. Oh, gender. And your nipples.
Why? Are you fantasizing about gender dips?
But I agree with you. I think China should be in the Hall of Fame.
Forget the disgrace. Let it be what it is.
Exactly. Just do
it's
what
just
you
the
do.
Character.
Just pretend it never happened.
Yeah.
They raised up Jimmy Superfly Suka when he died. The greatest thing that ever happened. That dude killed a motherfucker. So.
Well, no.
No, he did.
What happened was he
was accused. Vince McMahon walked into the police station with a briefcase full of money, and him and Jimmy Fly walked out.
Is that where the Money in the Bank case
That's
came
where
from?
The Money in the Bank case originated from.
Perfect.
Money in the Bank to keep out of the clink.
All right. All right. Well,
I think we need to get into Raw 25 that happened last night.
Marty eats ass. Mm-hmm. Thanks again for the question.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
This is your third big shout-out since you've asked for them so many times.
Right, right. We didn't want to put the pleading and begging you put in the email. Please make sure you mention me. Use my email. I really appreciate you guys. Like, I respect you. I wish I could be as nice and cool as you.
Medical condition, and right. This is my make-a-wish
thing.
This
is my make-a-wish thing, you know, even though HIV doesn't count as make-a-wish.
Come on, Marty.
Anyway.
You can't have us all to yourself.
No.
All right. Let's get into Raw.
I think we both enjoyed Raw 25. As we look at, we step back, look at the overall picture. I think it was amazing. So, there were parts we didn't like and did like, but I think in an overall thing, it was amazing.
I'm going to say, a show like Raw 25, you want that retrospect.
Yes.
You want the older players coming back. You want to know what it was like. You want to remember all the fun it was along the way.
Yep.
And the only thing, and I'm going to put this out, and a lot of people are going to disagree with me, the only thing I could have done without is the actual matches that were there. They were useless to me,
and most of the time got in the way.
You could have had something so much better, but...
Right, you get into the people, like Chris Jericho has a 3-4 minute appearance, you know, nothing major. You spend 10 minutes on Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy against each other.
Okay, Bray Wyatt and Broken Matt Hardy are so over and done, nobody cares anymore.
No.
But going back to that Jericho piece, a three-minute segment.
Yeah.
And it was nothing but sweet Jericho pop, and who drank it all in and got the pleasure of it? Elias.
Yes.
So,
which, putting them side by side, putting them next to each other, I don't realize, wait, Elias is just a more over-the-top Jericho. He just has more scarves
and
more guitar.
I disagree. Jericho is the premier.
Oh, Jericho's the top. Elias just took his shtick and tried to make it his own. It doesn't work
I kind of feel Elias is like a mix between a subdued Bray Wyatt, almost like a Bo Dallas.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And a Jericho fashion statement.
Yep. Yep, I can see that.
So, but I love me some Elias, and a lot of people are like, I don't know, but he's getting some heat, he's getting some pop, and I love it.
Okay,
I'm for it.
So, do we want to go by everything that happened, or do we want to go with highlights and lowlights?
I don't care either way. What was your favorite part of the show?
I mean, I hate to say it, but my absolute favorite part of the show was the beginning of the show.
Oh, with the McMahons?
With the McMahons coming out. They present Stephanie and Shane.
Stephanie looks great.
Stephanie looks great. They present a plaque.
Shane looks
great. To Vince McMahon.
You know what? I got to say, they did the absolute right thing in the absolute beginning of the show where they thanked their performers.
Yes.
They thanked their crew.
Mm-hmm.
They thanked us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they put it out there. They're like, listen, this is your night to celebrate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We thank all of you for giving this to us.
Yeah, because it's ridiculous how long the show has been on TV.
Oh, my God. But, I mean... I literally, when I was watching that, I'm like, yeah, that's really cool. Oh, wait, they just said thank you to me.
They said thank you to me. Yeah.
Because I'm old enough, we've made the joke, but I'm old enough, I have been watching it for 25 years. Maybe not as the most dedicated
Right,
fan,
not every. There were some bad years in there. But
I've been watching it pretty much that whole time. And I just, so they come out, they're going to present Dad with a plaque. Dad comes down, does his little strut, and talks about how everything's obligated to him, and then everybody owes him
plaque
for everything.
And I did this. Me! I did this myself with none of you!
And Craig, what do you hear?
Oh, that glass breaking. Oh.
And he comes down, and he's talking shit, and his head's wiggling, and you're just like, oh my God, it's Stone Cold!
And I love, I mean, because he feeds into it, and I appreciate that Vince feeds into it, as he speaks in the tone that is, I don't know why you're here, beat. So that the crowd can say, what? And, you know, I'm too old for you to fight.
You can't.
What?
But my son.
But my son. What?
What?
Is in the prime of his life. Let's be honest. Shane is not in the prime of his life right now.
You got a kid who's fallen out of a helicopter, jump off of 3-story structures, and can't seem to keep himself healthy. But yeah, let's throw him to the wolves.
He's in the prime of his life.
Oh, my God.
You know,
God.
And they sit there, and they shake, and Shane and Austin shake, and it's great. And fucking stunner.
Shane gets the Stone Cold salute.
Oh.
And gets dropped in a stunner.
It was so good.
Then the Rattlesnake is drinking beer with Vince.
Drinking beer with Vince. They're sharing Budweiser's together. It's so
Miller Lite, douchebag.
Oh, sorry. Miller Lite.
If it's not Broken Skull Ale, it's Miller Lite.
It's Miller Lite.
And I don't even drink. You're the alky.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid
mm-hmm.
douchebag. Anyway, so they're drinking. He toasted them not once, not twice, but thrice. And mm-hmm. on the third time, boom, boot to the gut, stunner.
And Vince, I mean, I know they did some nice quick camera angles and stuff like that, but it looked like Vince took it pretty well. I mean, Vince is literally 104 years old.
I'm just saying, Vince is selling at his age. Great job. He sold it.
There's nothing more I enjoy when looking back at old clips of Raw, especially the McMahon, Steve Austin relationship, when any time that he would stun Vince McMahon and he would do a stunner on him, like the Parkinson shakes that Vince McMahon would get, like every time he's just laying on the floor, like foam should be coming out of his mouth.
He's convulsing.
Every time.
Oh, and my God. Somebody get an AED.
Slap my knee every time it happens.
Oh, my God. Somebody get an AED.
Oh, my God.
The man's dying.
Oh, my God.
He's dying. Oh, man.
But that was my favorite part.
All right.
That was my favorite part. What about you? What was your all-time favorite part?
Wow. All right, so I've always...
We'll throw out the Bray Wyatt, Woken Matt Hardy fight. I know that was your favorite part, but...
Oh, God. That match, from beginning to end, was useless and unnecessary, and I don't want to talk about it
and
anymore.
And it's the only thing that had a commercial break.
That's got to tell you how horrible that match was. They're like, hey, we're losing them. Put on a Snickers commercial. All right, so I'm done with that shit.
Right, done with that.
I love all the little past wrestler pops,
mm-hmm.
but... Man, I would have to agree with you that my favorite was the opening. And then with that being said, my most confusing moment?
Yes.
What the fuck did The Undertaker say? Like, he said some speech, and I don't know where that leads us. Just,
so he's won everything, so now everyone rests in peace? Or there's more to do for people to rest in peace?
He can rest in peace.
I don't...
Or somebody's ordering a pizza?
I don't really...
Like, nobody knows what the hell... Was he stoned?
I don't know. What,
I mean, was his hood on too tight? Did his girdle cinch up too much? Was he not getting enough oxygen?
I don't know. Like, I don't know where that went.
How many parts of the pre-scripted speech did he fuck up? That, mm-hmm. Like, I don't get it.
I don't know where it's going.
I think Brock dropped him in WrestleMania.
Maybe that's what it was.
Like brain damage.
Maybe that's what it was. I mean, I do appreciate all that shit they had going on in the Manhattan Center, though.
Look.
That was great.
Okay, I'm going to say this. His lead-in, the promo.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
Oh, my God. It was beautiful. So awesome.
And that's the problem. I believe I may have seen it on the Twitter from our friends at The Wrestling Life.
Yes.
But there was nothing... more depressing than watching that lead in to all of the stuff the Undertaker has done and knowing that you are about to now get 75-year-old Undertaker out onto the ring. Like,
but I mean,
let me see how great he is and was and how awesome this is. And oh.
But I mean, even when, and if we're calling shout outs to podcasts that we love, even when like talking Taker, which the only thing they talk about is the Undertaker,
yeah.
is in the same boat I am, where it's like, what the fuck was that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, God, we love the Taker, but I mean, he just
no.
I'm hoping it was just a very flub speech.
Yes, and that's what I'm hoping.
He will make up for it, and we'll see something great at WrestleMania.
That's what I would think.
I loved. Listening to Lawler and JBR.
Oh, that was great.
Oh, my Seeing God. Them just to hear them right. and see them again, I was like, oh, my God, I remember this from 20 yep. years ago.
Yep. When hearing JB say, this is a slobber knocker.
Hey.
Hey, fucking great.
You want to know how old I was when the show started?
45.
22. I can tell you exactly where I was because I watched the very first show of Raw. At 22 years old.
Oh. Where were you?
I was in...
Memories.
I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
Studying to do some teaching work.
Okay.
And I was watching Raw because we kind of watched like Saturday Night Wrestling.
Saturday Night Fights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But So we were watching that, and my buddy was like, hey, they're going to have a weekly televised wrestling show. I'm like, oh, I want to know what it's like.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we were watching it in the college dorm room, University of Maryland. I forget what hall it was. And we were eating, we had Lito's Pizza.
Oh.
And we had...
the original Lito's then, too.
Yeah, and we had Tippy's Tacos. Because they would deliver.
We may need to recreate this meal.
And I was legal at the time. I'm not going to say that I was not consuming some alcoholic beverages.
Alcoholic beverages?
But I may have been shit-faced drunk by the end of the show.
Now, what if, to celebrate,
I wasn't done with my story.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please, continue.
Let me go back to my fucking glory days. I'm an old man, okay?
Eating and drinking. Yeah. So much different than now.
We were eating and drinking and having a great old time. And why I bring that back is because every time I hear Lawler and JR talking about wrestling and all that, I'm like transported back to that
night.
It's great. Okay, I'm done now. Fuck
so
you.
What about for WrestleMania?
Yes.
This year, which we will get together and watch.
Yes.
We already have our Rumble in the Tummy, Royal Rumble food met.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
WrestleMania this year, Lito's and Tippy's Tacos.
I can think of nothing better.
I think that may need to be it.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Because WrestleMania...
That's how we'll celebrate the 25th year of Raw.
WrestleMania is a fancy event.
It is.
And we should dine fancifully.
We should dine fancifully with the square pizza. Because they don't cut corners.
They don't cut corners, no. Mm-hmm. And the Tippy's Tacos, if it ain't dripping orange grease, I don't want it.
I don't want it. I don't want your tacos.
I don't want your taco.
Mm. So, I agree. I love that. But I feel the moment in the show that gave me chills, all right, that chills send down my spine, was the D-Generation X part.
Really?
All of them coming out, and then you had the Bullet Club or the Balor Club or whatever they decide. They all come out, and then you get a too sweet from all of them together.
Okay, so you get the Click, D-Generation X, and the Balor Club all too together. Sweetened, all and you can tell they were all like, this is magic.
This is the fucking ball.
I will give you this, awesome. But it went from... In D-Generation X, it went from most coherent to least coherent, where you had, like, Hunter and Shawn Michaels come out. They do the pop. Then you have Road Dogg and Badass Billy Guns. They come out, and you can tell they've been a little drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Then Xbox comes out, and he's high as a fucking kite.
He is.
And then Scott Hall comes out, and he has no clue where he's at.
No. Mm-mm.
They just said, go out there, wear this blood suit, and say,
and put a toothpick in your mouth.
Oh, you want a toothpick?
You can't have this without the bad guy.
Yeah, so I'm just saying.
Oh, but I don't care.
I know you ate it.
I loved it. I ate that all up with a fucking
big
spoon.
Old hoagie sandwich.
Yep, it was
nom, fucking great.
They're all sitting there. They all put their hands in together. I went right up to the TV and did the exact same thing.
I'm not gonna lie. I think you and I both tweeted out the Oh my god, too sweet. Too sweet.
This is beautiful.
And then the Revival comes out, and Gallows and Anderson beat the piss out of him.
Piss out of
and
him.
And they get the too sweet.
Yep.
And then I don't know if you looked on the Twitter cast, the old tweets machine.
The old tweets machine, the tweeters.
Mm-hmm. But they had pictures of them up today where it was like the Click, then the Click in Generation X,
mm-hmm.
and then the Click, the Generation X, and the Balor Club and
right,
all that.
Right,
I mean,
right.
So, it was just glorious moments. I'll mm-hmm. give you that. But it's almost like watching your favorite thing
mm-hmm.
not work so well.
What did you feel about the Peep Show?
All right. So
Rollins and Jordan coming out on it.
Well, let's really go to what hit me.
Mm-hmm.
I was and always have been a huge Edge and Christian fan.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I know mm-hmm. people laugh at me, but I always loved Christian because he was so goddamn funny.
Yep.
And
yep.
the Peep Show to me was one of my favorite bits.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. You know, so to have him out there, to have the Peep Show, I was like, yes, Christian's here. And all he did was ask like two questions, and then they pushed him off so that Seth and little baby Jordan can have a pissing contest with the bar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
I feel that should have been used more. Much like I feel with Jericho. It was used for just a few minutes
but that's
with
all Elias you on the backstage.
Right. But I feel you could have gotten more with the Peep Show.
So bring that back,
it should have been more.
Yeah. And I feel bad because, like, they have made it so that Christian cannot get over without Edge.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Edge can get over and do whatever he wants, but Christian is not Christian without Edge.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I disagree. I love Christian in WWE. I love Christian in TNA and everywhere else he's been. He's a great character. Mm-hmm. And I mean, God, I love listening to him on the podcast.
On the podcast, yeah, exactly.
So I just, anyway, really enjoyed Christian coming out. Could care less about the match that didn't see from
him. No, who cares about that? There were a few matches that I could have cared less about
Let's get him out of the way. The 8-woman tag team match.
What happened throughout the match?
Who cares about the fucking match?
What happened after the match was the only part that was of any interest.
Yeah, when Asuka threw every
evil Asuka comes out and her teammates that she was with said, no, screws you, throws them all over the ropes. Royal Rumble style.
She tweets today and you read it just like Asuka. I don't care at Royal Rumble. I throw everyone over to the ring. And you're like, yes, I love you, Asuka.
Yes, you do.
So it's yours to win now, yeah, in my opinion.
Exactly. Which I think is good.
Absolutely.
I like that. Then we get into the Rhino, Heath Slater.
It was great to watch the Dudley Boys put somebody else through the table, got them over a little bit. All in all, who gives two shits? The only thing I liked about it was how the APA card game kept building.
Yep.
And the only reason I say that is because I enjoy the APA. Mm-hmm. But Farouk and Bradshaw are just awesome. I always loved the shtick of APA. But, just watching the game go. But let's finish out all the stupid-ass matches that happened. I think the only one we haven't talked about is the Intercontinental Championship.
Right. I thought that was, out of all of them, I thought that was the most decent match.
I would agree. And we all know that WWE is going to push Reigns against Lesnar for the belt at WrestleMania.
100%, yes.
Mm-hmm. So with that being said, we knew he had to drop the belt. I just didn't assume it would be now.
Yeah.
But yeah. I like the way, because we knew it had to be some shenanigans involved. Uh-huh. I like the way they did it.
Yes.
They kept him as the heel. They played it off.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. And, I mean, I'll give it to him. You know, they'll go back and they'll look at it and they'll be like, oh, Miz took the padding off the buckle and that's how he won. But he'll keep that belt.
He'll keep the belt, yeah. And if you're trying to get this storyline to move forward in some way, I think Raw 25 last night got more viewers than a general Raw episode. You have people that had been watching wrestling that haven't in a long time, knew all these people were returning and probably watched.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed to throw some stuff in with the newer people to try and pull them in. None of the other matches, to me, did any of that pulling people in, except for this one.
Well,
you would have people that were probably like, that was a good match. Anybody that saw the Titus O'Neil, Heath Slater, Rhino, they were like, no, I don't want to fucking watch more wrestling on next week.
What about the Cena-Elias match?
That I thought was good. I mean, I enjoy them together. I don't know if that makes me a rube.
No, I don't think it makes
Both. I enjoy Elias just knocking down the... You know, whatever city they're in, and Cena being like, they're not all bad. Like,
but I mean,
do you want to see my balls? And like, goes to the crowd.
But he played it off.
He does.
Some beach balls around, and he played it off.
Yeah.
Just like me, Brooklyn has balls too. There they are.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, but he got the pop from the crowd. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I mean, like, all in all, my two favorite matches would have to be The Miz and Reigns, which was the best match of the night, and then this one with Elias. And it wasn't really a match. Elias sucker punched
entertaining,
him,
yeah.
Dropped him, and that's why I liked it, because you want to see that consummate good boy just get dropped.
Yep.
And it gives Elias a little pop over where, you know?
Yeah, I
agree. He'll hit him with the guitar, he'll do this, he'll do that. Good on it.
And it pulls people in who maybe just checked out last night to maybe want to check out next week, see what happens.
So...
Right, then you end with the Strowman, Kane, Lesnar.
Oh, fuck that.
You know, I mean, the only thing I enjoy, as we discussed before, I enjoy anything Paul Heyman does.
Yeah, you know.
And I like, you know, the intro he comes out, be like, you know, where he makes not only a dig at Strowman and Kane, but like comes out and says, all right, let's talk about something relevant. All right, not all of these old timers. Let's talk about someone relevant now.
Right,
there's no one more relevant than the title holder. And brings out, like, I loved that. Like, he's not only dissing Strowman and Kane, he's dissing everybody else you just saw on Raw.
Everybody else.
These are not even relevant people.
And that's his job.
Right.
And he does it so well.
Exactly.
So, let me ask you this, just thinking off the cuff, watching the matches last night, Paige is out there with Absolution, and we all know that she's probably not going to wrestle again.
Right.
Do you think Paige has the chops to become a Heyman-esque manager?
I mean, I think she could if she puts in some work.
You know what got me last night?
Mm-hmm.
Is when she pulled her two girls in the one of the, you know, all-out brawl things. Mm-hmm. She pulled her two girls and said, you know, you stay away from these two girls. Like, I bought it. I thought she genuinely cared about
them. Right,
like,
right.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, you know what? If she can't wrestle, what can she do? I don't think she can commentate.
No.
Like,
no.
I don't think she would be a good commentator. Mm-hmm.
However, I don't think she'd be, like, a good interviewer. She can't do, like, the interviews Renee Young style or anything.
No. Nobody tops Renee Young right now. She's at the top of the game. But I could see her almost working her way into a manager position. Give her Absolution for a while to kind of cut her teeth on.
Yeah. But in treating it like that, like, these are my girls. Like, that's kind of how she does it. Like, this is basically her stable.
I mean, she's only 25, so she could be the very first manager to have a stable of female wrestlers in the female division.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Because they don't really have that.
No.
They don't have anybody doing that now.
Once again, you've got history being made there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can honestly see that when, and I fully think and want a women's tag team division. I can see that being a something.
Yeah. And I think if she put a little work in, like, you know, just doing things, studying Heyman, you know, studying some of the good ones, like, you know, seeing how it is, and especially if she goes for the heel manager.
Oh,
you
I'm
know,
with you.
Like, she's not managing, you know, the baby faces. She's managing the heel. I think that's the way to do it. That's the way to get her to go over and have this go well. So she can still act that way.
Right. So, I mean, and then she has the chops to, you know, go ahead and push storylines and all that. So I don't see why not.
Yeah, I think that could work. I think that's actually a really good idea.
So I'd be interested to see where that goes. But then, like, do you put somebody against her? Like,
I don't know. I mean, who? If you look at it and how they have it set up now, it's not like Paul Heyman has an opposite. You know what I mean?
Like, no, but the reason why I ask is, who is Almas's manager in NXT? What's her name? Zelina Vega.
Zelina Vega, that is right. Yeah, you bring somebody like her up.
Yeah, so I mean,
like, I could definitely see that going well.
I could almost see, like, bring Paige back down to NXT because she's so well known there.
Ooh.
Have her work against Zelina Vega.
Mm-hmm.
And you could almost see, like, where that synergy could happen. And you could see if she has the chops for it or the juice that just...
That's not a bad idea. Almost give her a test run in NXT.
Yeah.
They don't do a lot of bringing people back down, but that would actually be
good.
Yeah,
but I mean, she would be going into a whole nother role.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So I don't see where you could keep her on the top card and let her learn.
I mean, you could even, if you brought her on every once in a while to a Raw, you could use her as the catalyst to bring women up from NXT.
I agree. So I just had a good challenge for you.
I like it. Challenge.
Challenge. If you could peg a match for the Raw 25th anniversary match.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you could use a superstar of today versus a superstar of within the last 25 years of Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Who would it be? And you're going to laugh when I tell you.
Are we going in the past 25 years in their prime?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not going somebody now. All right. Mm-hmm.
Like, no. You have to pick one from the past.
One from now, like, and one from...
One that would be a guest on the show and one that is currently on the show.
Right, right. But, like, you know, so I don't have to pick, like, you know, trying to think, like, you know, boogeyman of now who's, like,
75 years old. No. It would be, like, the boogeyman of his time.
Right.
Which, he was awesome.
He was. I liked him.
The fact that Coach let him put the worms in his hands. I would have been like, not only are they worms, but right. You got your drool on them.
Follow me on this.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, just because of how much I think this could work, you go Scott Hall versus Cena.
I like it. It's kind of like both sides, like, of the fence.
Right. Like, completely opposite personality on air talents. Like,
I've got you.
You basically have the bad guy versus the good guy.
I've got you so beat on.
Okay, let's go. Hit me.
Are you ready?
Hit me with it.
Hold on to the handrests. Mm-hmm. Strap yourself in.
Strap yourself in. Tray table up in its upright position.
Your mind is going to be blown.
Mm.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Brooklyn Brawler versus Curt Hawkins.
How awesome would
it be? One of them has to lose.
Right. One of them.
One of them has to lose.
Who?
I saw the Brooklyn Brawler come on and I was like, holy crap.
This would not. They should do that now. Who are we kidding?
Yeah.
Forget. Bring out Brooklyn Brawler now. He looked fine.
Good enough to beat Curt Hawkins.
Exactly. And to have that and to be your one win versus the other guy who only loses, no matter who it is, is just awesome.
I just think it's funny. That would be hilarious.
I mean, and how great would it have been? You do that match and in the Manhattan Center.
Yeah.
All right. And you have the Brooklyn Brawler win it. So he wins.
Oh, he goes over huge.
Huge. I mean, you want to talk about a stadium erupting.
Well, like, you make fun of me, but that dude would have broke a hip and turned to dust.
Yep.
If he even looked at the ring.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But,
oh. Oh, my God.
But it'd still be to Curt Hawkins.
Yeah.
I think my 4-year-old daughter can beat Curt Hawkins.
Poor Curt Hawkins. He lays down and still loses.
You're like, ah, bit him myself. Ah, my arm's too heavy.
Yeah, but you lost to yourself. I just thought, I was thinking of that. I was like, that would have been hilarious.
Oh, that would be good.
Oh,
that would
man.
Be good. I love it.
All right.
I love
so...
it. But I love the show.
I
think, like I said, there were some low moments, but I think overall, they gave us what we wanted. They brought people back. The only thing I would have enjoyed more is I enjoyed the Undertaker, like, intro they did where they showed everything. I would have preferred...
I like the
I would have preferred even more clips than they did.
Yeah.
I think they did a good amount, but I would prefer more.
I love...
You take off some of those stupid matches they had and throw in another 15 minutes of clips.
Keep giving me, like, the pop shots of moments of time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm yours.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put those matches in, I would have... Like, we made the joke the week ago that the only match that's going to be there right. is Reigns and The Miz. And that...
That would have been fine.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that because we know that they were trying to get over, and they did.
Like, exactly.
I just, you need to stop. Like, just, I get it. You got to pay your talent and get your money out of your talent. But we both agree. The show was great.
Yeah.
For what it was a great show. We ate it up. We loved it. It was everything we wanted it to be. But if we had to criticize, if we had to be bitches like Tony and Brian.
Right. And most wrestling fans are. Let's be honest.
If we had to wear the panties like they do. Then I'm going to say this. I would have said I would have rather not seen some of the matches and give me the vignettes.
Yep.
Give me the little pops. Give me the little, like, oh, my God, it's Mark Henry.
Oh my God,
it's the Godfather.
Oh, my God, they're together.
So I would have taken a lot more of that than the actual matches.
I agree.
And that Bray Wyatt, Woke and Matt Hardy thing could have gone in the shitter from the get-go.
And I love me some Woke and Matt Hardy. That still should have disappeared.
It was horrible.
No reason to have that. Just wait till next week.
Horrible.
So, I think before we sign off about Raw, we have to go over. There's many, but if you had to pick your favorite Raw moment in the past 25 years, I know there's a lot to go, but just one that constantly comes to you. And I can give you mine first if you want to think on it a little bit.
Because I have
There's so many.
All right, go ahead.
Mine, and I think it's just because of at the time when it happened, I did not expect it. I did not see it coming. Was the Triple H Stephanie McMahon secret drive-through marriage?
Oh, you like that?
In Las Vegas.
Yeah, I like that.
And Stephanie McMahon's being like, "I hate you.
Right? I want you to die."
I love that.
Oh yeah.
And him walking out to her trying to get and then showing the video, like, that's fucking great. Like,
so. I mean, but you have so many iconic moments.
So
like
many
that.
Iconic.
But I think this will tell you what a retard I am.
Mm-hmm.
I think the moment that has always stood out to me because I took it as being like the first genuine thing on a really make-believe show.
Mm-hmm.
And it stands out to me because that's the first time I really like I knew all along wrestling was entertainment.
Right.
I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
I just
scripted and staged.
Didn't choose to believe it.
Right.
But this was the very first moment that I kind of opened my eyes and said, this actor is opening up, and they're no longer the character they play, but they are for real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that moment that stands out to me the most is when Edge has to come out and announce his retirement. Soon to follow, a couple years later, Daniel Bryan had to do the exact same thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But these are the moments where they are no longer the superheroes and the fantasy icons that we have created in our head. And they have graciously made for us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't get me wrong.
No, sacrifices in their life, physically, emotionally.
But when, and I'll use his real name, when Adam was in the ring, I talk like we're buddies.
Your besties,
he wouldn't know me from anyone.
From Adam.
Yeah. But anyway, when he is standing in the ring, and you can tell he is fighting back tears because he has to tell the people he adores that he has to give up the thing he loves.
Yep.
Or, you know, or it could kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the very first moment. And, you know, I'll admit to you, I'm, what, 24, 25 at the time?
Right.
So I'm a somewhat of an adult. And, you know, I'm watching and I'm like, this is a real moment right here. This is a for real moment where this is not a character.
No. I mean, it's the same thing with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, we were in our 30s and 40s when that happened.
Yeah.
Like, and him doing the same thing, fighting back the tears as the crowd's chanting, yes. Like you're fighting back tears watching it. Just thinking about it, I'm fighting back tears.
And I mean, I will put it out there. Like, when Ric Flair announced his retirement and he left the WWE, I was choked up.
Yeah.
This was the very first moment where I caught myself. I mean, I wasn't crying. My eyes were sweating.
Right. The room. So, I mean, you were in college. Rooms are super dusty. You don't clean.
But my eyes were sweating. And I wasn't in college. I had a job at that time.
Oh.
I was working where I currently work now. But my eyes were sweating. And but it was like a surprise to me. Like, it wasn't empathy I was feeling.
No.
It was sympathy.
We've done this together.
I felt like
we've gone on this journey.
I've lost everything he just lost.
Yeah.
And like, I walked away from that with a genuine sense of hurt and pain. That's when I one realized that these characters do so much for us, and when they have to be themselves, they just don't get the credit for what they do. And two, I realized, wow, I really, really, really enjoy wrestling.
Exactly.
Because
you are all in on this. Yeah.
So I think, you know, for this moment in time, depending on my mood, I think that's the one that stands out the most.
That's a good one.
So
I like it.
We both agree one of our favorites is when DX invades WCW.
Oh.
And they come over from what is a Hampton into Norfolk on the little Jeep with the cannon.
I mean, come on.
We love that one.
Fucking great. You can't deny the Stone Cold driving the beer truck in.
Oh, or the Zamboni.
Or the Zamboni.
I think one of my favorite moments is when Dean Ambrose, one, either drives the ambulance in, but my favorite one is when he pushes the hot dog cart down and he's spraying him with the mustard and ketchup. I love that one.
Oh,
that's one of my favorite, funniest moments.
Oh. I mean, if you want to talk about surprising moments, and I know it's more one of the more recent ones, when Seth Rollins turns on the Shield.
Oh, that's a really
and hits
good one.
Hits him in the back with the chair.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember distinctly sitting and watching that and be like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, I was like,
holy shit.
But he hit the wrong person, right?
What is going on here?
That was a mistake, right? And then Dean's looking at him like,
what?
What's going on?
What's happening, bestie?
Yeah. I'm just saying, there's a lot of, let's be honest. In our own little Raw retrospective that we're going through now, there are a lot of times where you can do the, I know where I was, or I remember that time.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that a show has given us so much of that,
right?
That, you know, what other show can you genuinely sit around and say, you know, for 25 years, outside of something like football or what have you, for 25 years, this show has brought me a level of entertainment,
right?
High or low,
right. even in their low points, like, you know, there, as we talked about, there were times where I faded away from watching and would come back. I mean, the entire year or two of the special celebrity guest host was horrible.
Oh,
it was horrible, but
painful.
But every week, I still look to see who the celebrity guest host was.
Yeah,
well, and if it was somebody, I was like, maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah, well.
I know, like, Snoop Dogg? Sure, I'll check that out. Jon Stewart?
No. But I just, Yeah, I mean, I guess John and Craig on the T3 podcast here, looking back at Raw and everything it's given us through the 25 years, it's been an amazing trip. I look forward to 25 more. I hope my kids get involved. I hope your kids stay involved. Mm. And I just, what an excellent thing to know that for 25 years, we've had this level of entertainment. Right. So I will say thank you, Vince. I will say thank you, McMahon family. Oh. I will say thank you to the wrestlers.
Oh, Vince is dead.
Yeah, well, Stone Cold killed him. Yeah. I'll say, most of all, thank you for the wrestlers, for the entertainment you brought us, for the sacrifices you've made, and I'll do it. Thank you to the fellow fans that are just as big as Marks as we are.
Mm-hmm, they keep it going. If people weren't watching, they wouldn't keep doing it.
So
they still sell out on a weekly basis.
Speaking of selling out. Guess
where we're going tonight, folks. SmackDown Live.
It's in D.C. Washington, D.C. area, and that's where we are from.
Yep, and so, we will be there.
I already called Mojo out. Let him know that just like he said he'll be live in his hometown, we will be live in our hometown as well.
Exactly. Just waiting for him to connect eyes with us. That's all we're waiting for. That's it. We would tell you to look for us on camera, but we're not exactly sure where we're sitting. We have to buy tickets from some scalper. I don't know. He just said come into his van and help him find his puppy afterwards. I don't know. I'm just going to go in and see what happens.
Did you get the promise of candy too?
Right, yeah.
Okay, okay.
So we're just going to go in and then tickets afterwards.
Yeah.
So whatever happens.
So we are going to actually bathe ourselves, leave the bunker.
Right. Mm-hmm. Shocking as that may be. Yeah,
head on out.
All right. We will be out there with SmackDown. We will be recording live a few times. All right. Maybe a little bit before, probably a few times during. All right. And then at the end, what we think about the overall show we saw.
And fans of the show, my goal is to get Craig a little bit tipsy so that you can hear the silliness that comes from him when he is.
There's no such thing.
And we do have a long-standing tradition, do we not?
We what do. Is
it we always get at our wrestling matches.
We always have to get stadium nachos.
Stadium nachos.
Mm-hmm. Because that's the way to do it. That's the way classy people do it.
Yeah. That's my jam.
That's my jam, yo, is stadium nachos.
Stadium freaking nachos.
Freaking nachos. So look for us on TV. We're the two, again, middle-aged white guys with beards.
A little heavy set.
Wearing 2XL shirts. Thick. Eating nachos.
Twerking.
Right. I mean, it would be hard to find.
Twerking ass. I will say this, too. If they sell the Bludgeon Brother hammers at the concession stand, we are buying them.
They have to.
Just so we can drag them
around. One of the greatest things I ever bought in going to a Monday Night Raw was a giant foam 2x4. That said, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I remember buying that.
I had one too.
I want to say I was 14.
Yep. And then you ran around just hitting everyone.
Yep. Like,
I wasn't 14. I was a little older, but we would chase each other through the college dorm with it.
I even bought a foam billy club stick from Big Boss Man as well at that same event.
What did I have? I had the Hacksaw Jim Duggan foam board.
Oof.
And I got mine when they went to the Spectrum in Philadelphia.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah, I had that. I believe
mine was at the Cap Center.
I had a Hulk Hogan sweatband.
Ooh, why are you not wearing that right now?
Well, it's gone now. It's gone now.
Disintegrated. You sweated on it twice and it just disappeared.
Years of being a Hulkamaniac, saying my prayers and taking my vitamins just really ruined it, brother.
Ruined it, brother.
So I had the sweatband, I had that, and then I think the only other thing I can remember is I wanted some Macho Man sunglasses, but they didn't have them in white. They only had them in purple.
Well, you know what? If we see Macho Man sunglasses tonight in white, they're on me, buddy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'll get them for you. Don't you tease me.
I'll get them for you. All right, you deserve them.
That's love.
You deserve that.
That's love.
But please, tweet us, let us know your favorite Raw moment. Maybe something we didn't cover.
Do you think
something we didn't talk about?
And Marty E stands for Marty Erogenous Zone?
Maybe just Marty Erection.
Marty Erectile Dysfunction?
Yes, that's what it probably is. Marty E.D.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Martied.
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 Marty partied too hard.
Marty partied too hard, E.D.
Now his penis don't work.
Don't work no more.
Yep, Marty Erectile Dysfunction.
But if you want to submit your letter so you can also have your name made fun of, again, it's tripletbag@gmail.com. That's the word tripletbag@gmail.com. Send us your questions, your comments, your queries. All right? We will answer them all.
I hear Dongle Dick.
He's
the master of the low blow.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Maybe making some sort of appearance tonight.
That's what I'm hearing.
So we'll see what happens.
We'll see. And we put it out there. This episode won't come out until after we've already been to SmackDown. But I want to speak it into the universe anyway.
Speak it!
We have an extra ticket. Snitsky, if you meet us, we will let you sit next to us.
Listen, I will get rid of my friend and his girlfriend.
Yep.
Snitsky, you can have whatever tickets you want. I'll give you two tickets so that you don't have to sit next to anybody.
And we will buy you stadium nachos.
Two orders,
because you're a big man.
However, we do want the ability to get some of your shirts. We'll give you money.
I need that Snitsky Batman logo.
Snitsky Batman shirt.
Just bring a couple of those. That's all we need. Badass. That's all we need. So, but next time you're hearing our voices, folks, it will be live from our trip to SmackDown, the adventures upon all adventures, the greatest adventure, John and Craig take over SmackDown.
John and Craig's excellent adventure.
John and Craig's bogus journey to SmackDown.
To SmackDown.
To SmackDown. Take two, take down, take over. We out.
Peace.
'Smackdown.' Craig and John here, ready to start the event, sitting in our seats. Good seats. We got good seats for today.
We're camera side, so you won't see us on TV, but we will get to see every wrestler's face.
Right, and just know when they're looking out in the crowd, they're looking at us.
Well, I mean, they have to. We're so sensitive.
I mean, you know who's specifically going to look at us or look at you?
Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch.
I'm going to profess my love tonight.
Right. I want you to scream it as high up on the mountains as you can. When she does her little come out and she goes through the ropes and says, "Ooh," that's when I want you to scream.
She will swing right in front of us.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I will be all my Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch, I love you.
I mean, like, Becky, I love you.
Mm-hmm. But we're here.
This is John, by the way.
We don't know what's going to happen tonight.
No.
We know a few matches that we've seen on the tweets.
Yeah, on the tweets.
But we don't know exactly what's going to happen. But I think, you know, maybe not every commercial break, but often during commercial breaks, we'll come back and give you our up-to-the-minute opinion on what's been happening.
Yep. And accompanying us, you may find some special guest stars along the way. Some friends of ours that we've dragged along for color commentary.
Right. Not only have we dragged along friends, but we make friends everywhere we go.
We're very friendly people.
Right. That's what we do.
Like a high caliber of individual.
A high caliber individual.
Fibers of friendship.
Some call us the four friends.
Yes. Building festivals, if you will,
if
of friendship.
Will. If you will.
Festivals. Because
This is what we do.
People photograph us.
People
just
are
doing
photographing us right now, working.
That's how it is.
That's how it works.
That's how
important we are.
Big ass balls deep.
We've met fans. That's what we do, folks.
That's
what we do. You're welcome. All right, we'll come back to you at the next break, let you know what we're thinking. But right now, we're loving it. We're excited.
Crew's coming out, setting up. We're getting ready for the show.
Getting ready for the show. Let's go! All
right.
All right, folks, we are trying not to get too excited, but the first match is Perfect 10 Ty Dillinger versus friend of the show, Mojo Rawley.
Mojo Rawley!
And we are so ridiculously excited for this.
Oh my God, he's the best.
John's not even sitting down. He's scaring young children all around us, and it's worth it. It's worth it.
No! All right? No, don't let him.
But we're getting hyped.
You, Mojo!
Get him!
I'm hyped, Mojo!
Get him! How dare he? How dare he do that to Mojo? We hate Ty Dillinger now. He is the first show enemy.
Yeah, there you go, big elbow!
Let's see what happens.
Mojo, look at me! Mojo, I want to take a picture! Woo! Woo! Yeah, Mojo, yeah! Mojo!
He's the drunk driver, right?
Right, he's the drunk driver.
Okay, just want to make sure.
The company one, the one not wrestling, is the drunk driver.
He still has a job for now.
Right, well, he's going to be the backup man. Day one-ish.
Is the ish, like, maybe sober-ish?
Yep.
Bengeables! The Bengeables are here! Folks, Becky Lynch has entered the arena. John is freaking out. He's freaking out, guys. Naomi wins. Becky Lynch, Camilla, Natalia. Oh no, the Riot Squad's coming in attack! Get him! Go, Becky!
Becky!
The women are going crazy. All the women are fighting each other. Every single one.
Oh, I love you, Becky Lynch.
Camilla knocks out Liv Morgan. She's picked up by Natalia. They both toss her out. Then Natalia attacks Camilla. Oh. Carmella, oh no!
Get back in there, Becky!
And out comes Charlotte Flair!
Charlotte Flair! Woo! Stop.
One Bobby Roode. You got him, New Jay, Francesca, and a plate of flapjacks on the ring. What more could a man want? Alright folks, currently we are in right smack in the middle of Sami Zayn versus AJ Styles. Kevin Owens, match is over. AJ Styles won. He tapped out immediately.
I think AJ broke his leg.
He's currently on the floor being seen to by four or five paramedics. I'm pretty sure they're performing emergency heart transplant surgery because they've been there for 10 minutes.
I think they need to give him a fake leg or something.
Alright.
AJ tore his leg off.
Alright. But Sami Zayn has been pretty much beating up on AJ a lot.
Oh, we love when Sami Zayn beats up on anybody.
We do. It's lots of fun. We love cheering it. So we don't know where this is going to go. Kevin Owens looks like he wants to come back in, but he broke. He done broke. What's going to happen? Let's wait and see. Folks, it was a slobber knocker. But Sami Zayn just won. AJ Styles pushed over a cart that was taking out Kevin Owens, came back in the ring. Sami Owens took him down. Sami Zayn took him down. It was beautiful. It was so beautiful. Yep.
Awesome.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees.
A Okay, folks. So, SmackDown ended. Then we saw the Facebook Live Mixed Match Challenge of Asuka and Miz versus Carmella and Big E. And now,
we watched 205
Live. 205 Live. This is the greatest night in wrestling history.
And we still get a match with Baron Corbin and Randy Orton.
And we get Baron Corbin, Randy Orton, dark match after this. And we somehow both have to work tomorrow.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. We're calling in wrestling.
I can't make it in because I was too busy watching wrestling last night.
If only not everybody knew we were here. We'll come back with more info.
Three questions.
Folks, we're here. Currently enjoying some 205 Live.
I don't know if we're enjoying it.
It's on.
But we're watching it.
But SmackDown is over. Facebook Live Mixed Match is over. And now we're into 205 Live. WWE is smart in the fact that they are holding us hostage by knowing we all want to stay and see the dark match of Randy Orton versus Baron Corbin.
Absolutely.
So they're not
with
smart.
With that being said, just randomly look at the people next to
I'm going to randomly ask the people
ask them
next to me.
Three questions.
All right.
What three questions
should we ask them? So here we're going to go. Three questions to the random people sitting next to us. First of all, what is your name?
I usually don't talk to strangers, but my name is Jaren.
Okay. Jaren, thank you for choosing this time.
What did he say, Jared?
Jared.
He should go to Jared's.
Gerald?
Well, you could call me Jerome. Gerard.
All right.
Gerard.
J-Money, we got three questions for you. First of all, what was your favorite part of the event this evening?
It will have to be the RKO out of nowhere.
I agree. I will agree, the RKO out of nowhere was pretty amazing.
Because he literally came out of nowhere.
No, out of nowhere. Nobody saw him coming.
And it was just awesome. I'm a big Nakamura fan, but I had to stand up and cheer for the RKO.
I think we all had to. So, Junior Penis, second question. What was the worst part of the night?
Besides a creepy guy from DC calling me Junior Penis?
Right.
I would have to say I still wanted an RKO match during SmackDown Live.
During the actual SmackDown?
Yes, big time. But I'm such a dedicated fan, I will wait 51 minutes and counting to see RKO.
I don't blame you. I can't blame you. All right, our last question to Jizz in the Pants. Jizz in the Pants. If you could sleep with any wrestler on the current WWE roster, who would it be? Only males. Go.
Well, it is 2018.
Right.
So anything goes. Any male wrestler.
Right. You could get railed out by any male wrestler. Who would it be?
Well, what if I'm a top, not a bottom?
I mean, it's whatever you choose. It depends on who you have. If you want to be a bottom to Strowman, you go for it, but he'll break your hips.
No, Braun. So, I'm going to have to go with a Roman Reigns or... The Miz. We go with either one.
I can see that.
But The Miz has to keep the sunglasses on, though.
Okay. You don't connect eyes.
No, you don't connect eyes.
It's not gay.
No, sir.
No eye contact. Well, we want to thank you so much, Junior Penis, for joining us.
Junior Beatbox.
Junior Beatbox. Thank you for joining us. We're glad we were able to get these questions from you.
Anytime, next time.
Peace out. Okay, folks, we're back. Craig and John here. Now we are currently watching Mustafa Ali versus Cedric Alexander in the 205 Live. Which, while interesting, means we're going to interview the next person sitting next to us.
So, to my other side is one young lady. Hi, young lady.
Hi, sir.
Feel like answering any questions?
Sure.
This isn't awkward at all, guys.
Investigative journalism. All right. So, what's your name?
Jessica.
All right. We have questions for you, Jasmine. Hold on.
Jellybean? What's the first question we ask?
Jellybean, what was your favorite part of tonight?
The best part of tonight, which was also my favorite part, was Big E teaching Bobby Roode how to gyrate.
That was good.
Which one?
Big E teaching Bobby Roode how to gyrate.
Ooh. I do love me some Flavin' Jacks.
Right.
Gyration.
Right. So, second question, yes. Just for us girls. What was the worst part of the night, in your opinion?
I'd have to go with AJ Styles losing to Sami Zayn. I'm not a Sami Zayn fan.
This interview's over.
I don't know if we can talk to her anymore.
I can't even look at her anymore.
No.
Look, Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
Jinx the cat.
Jezebel.
Jezebel. Jinx the cat.
Just both.
Just for men.
Just for both.
Yeah, just for men.
Just for men.
All right.
So, our last question for Just for Men.
Just for
as we've been asking everybody else, if you could sleep with anybody on the WWE roster. This is a lady present.
Oh, lady, sorry.
If you could scissor with anyone in the WWE roster, females only, who would it be?
Hands down. That's probably the easiest question you've asked me tonight.
I don't know if the hands are down. I don't know exactly how this works, but please continue.
Well, yeah, you've got to have the hands down.
I don't know how this works. I've never
seen it on the internet. We've never seen it for real.
And usually it's 3 to 4 seconds, and then it's over. I don't need it anymore.
That's a short one, but all right.
That's also what she said. Please continue.
My choice would obviously have to be Charlotte Flair. Woo!
That's a good one. That's a good one.
She's no Becky Lynch, though.
I mean, she's no Becky Lynch. I will.
Yeah. I need somebody with a soul, though. So.
Ooh, and redheads do have no souls.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Oh, she's a very attractive lady.
Well. Mm-hmm.
Gypsy lady.
Right. Thanks for joining us, Gypsy woman.
Thank you.
We're so glad that you could be part of this newest episode of Take Two Takedown.
Thank you, strangers.
All right, John, the SmackDown event live in the books for us. Our first live event together as a show. We've been together at events previously, but this is our first one as a show.
Correct.
What did you think about it, my friend?
A really good show. So when you go to any show right before a major pay-per-view, you're going to get the buyout. You're going to get the sell. Everything that you're trying to end up, wrap up, and get on is there.
Right.
So I was very impressed. I had a good time.
I had a great time, too. I think it was good. It went longer than I think either of us expected.
Yeah, but it was made better by having two, what were their names? Jelly Bing and Jingle Tits?
Right, Jingle Tits and Jingle Dick.
Yeah.
That got interviewed. It was fun meeting them.
So it was fun having them beside us. And I mean, it just made it for a good show.
Exactly. I agree. I think there were some highlights, some lowlights. We got to see Randy Orton. I don't think either of us expected that.
Yeah, I mean, we laughed, we cried. It became part of us.
Right, it did. We were emotionally invested in the entire night.
Entire night. And you didn't kill the guy who threatened you about his nachos.
No.
Nor did we ever see his lawyers or his boys.
Or his boys, both of which he threatened to call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to call him out and say he has no lawyers or boys.
Or boys. Well, since he was just talking on the phone for most of the show, don't really know why he was there.
I don't know. You know, who is the rapper that sang, I got a man?
I got a man. What's your man got to do with me? I got a man.
I think it was that guy.
Right. I think you're probably right.
This is the last of his savings. He's spending it on a wrestling show.
Mm, that's sad.
Because he's got a man.
It's sad to see the high and mighty fall.
Well, oh, there he is.
Oh, that's not awkward at all.
Nachos.
So, my friend.
Yeah.
If people saw us on
TV, which I don't think they would have.
No.
We were on the wrong side.
We yelled a lot, though.
But we did yell at it. Might have hurt us. All right, let us know what you thought of Raw 25. Let us know what you thought of the SmackDown event in DC on at Take2Takedown on our wonderful email, tripletbag@gmail.com. That's word triple, TBAG@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you thought. Let us know what you think could it could have done at Raw 25 to make it better. All right? And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, because that's what we like people to do. We got some new followers today. We hope to get even more.
Number 92.
We saw her today. Mm-hmm. Our new favorite.
Quit giggling back there, 92.
Shush! Pretend like you don't know us. All right. Peace out, bitches.
I got nothing.
John, there's one thing we can't forget about.
What was that?
This month, January, is Hanktuary.
Hanktuary!
On Take Two Network.
Ooh, I love me some Take Two.
Spotlight did the Tom Hanks Spotlight, all about him, all about all of his movies.
I listened to the Spotlight. Awesome.
Awesome.
I can't wait for the soundtrack to drop.
Yep, we're doing the soundtracks.
Hanks, I agree. I will say this. I'm old enough that I have seen all the movies that those two young bucks on Take Two have not.
Have not and know
I've
nothing
seen the
of.
Man with One Red Shoe.
Of course you have.
I've seen all the... I felt pretty bad because as I was sitting there listening to him, I'm like, man, I've seen that one.
No, I was texting him the whole time.
I've seen that one.
Tom Hanks' stint on Family Ties was one of my favorite things ever, where he played their old college friend who got drunk and had a drinking problem.
Yeah.
It was very special episodes of very Family
special.
Ties.
Three very special right, episodes.
Which I think were all episodes of Family Ties, let's be honest.
Yeah, let's be honest.
But we need to get involved in this.
Yes!
We need to be part of this Hanks synergy all month long.
With the power that is Tom Hanks.
Right.
There had to be some connection to the wrestling world.
Right. And once we thought of it, we knew this had to be it.
It was a lock.
It was a lock. But there was an episode of SNL hosted by Dwayne The Rock, one of our favorites.
The People's Champ.
The People's Champ. And he decided the people needed somebody new for 2020.
Yeah, no Oprah.
No Oprah.
Screw you, Oprah.
No, they need
Johnson.
If I'm
not getting a free car, you're not getting
You're not getting anything. They need a Johnson.
Everybody needs Johnson.
Everybody needs Johnson. And Johnson needed a running mate.
Big old bald Johnson.
Yep. But who better does America love besides Dwayne Johnson?
Well, America's favorite actor.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Johnson Hanks, 2020. Here you go, folks.
All in.
You know, Alec, it's funny. You know, a lot of people have been telling me lately that that I should run for president of the United States. Yes, and I got to tell you, it's very flattering. But tonight, I want to put this to rest and just say once and for all, I'm in. Starting tonight, I am running for the president of the United States. And I got to tell you, I've already chosen my running mate. He's also in the Five-Timers Club. And like me, he's very well-liked. He's charming, universally adored by pretty much every human alive.
Dwayne, I would be honored to...
Mr. Tom Hanks, ladies and gentlemen.
I could not possibly turn this down.
Because all three of us are equally beloved. Not a single black mark on any of our public personas.
Yeah, sure. Hey, Alec, I think I saw Lauren talking to your wife.
I'm going to break that son of a bitch's neck.
Happens every time.
It happens every time, yes, yes. Now, in the past, I never would have considered running for president. I mean, I didn't think I was qualified at all, but now I'm actually worried that I'm too qualified.
Well, the truth is, America needs us. No one can seem to agree on anything anymore except for two things.
Pizza and us.
And us. I mean, I have been in two movies where a plane crashes and people are still excited to see me on their flight.
That's true. That's true. That's very true. That's true. True story. You know, and I one time ran a red light and the traffic cam footage alone made $1 billion. Wow. Tom, I think we're unstoppable.
Dwayne, together we would get 100% of the vote. I would get the senior vote. because I fought in World War II in like 10 different movies.
Yes, yes. Yes, he did, yeah. And I, of course, would get the minority vote because everyone just assumes that I'm, well, whatever they are.
Plus, between us, we could handle any crisis. If, God forbid, we could go to war, I can assure the nation. We will sacrifice and we will suffer, but in the end, we will win because we are Americans, and that is what Americans do.
I mean, that is amazing, amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. And you know, if God forbid California splits off and falls into the ocean, well, yeah, that's my area. Damn it, if I don't get down to that fault line and detonate the warhead, the entire state is going to sink. Fuel up the submarine and tell the Secret Service to pack my trunks. The president's going for a swim.
There was a lot going on there.
Yes, there is. It's how I roll, Hanksy, yes. But listen, America, before you get too excited, you know, this isn't real. Tom and I are only joking.
Yeah, I just wanted to be on TV with Wayne.
Well, you know, it's just that when it comes to politics, we need more poise and less noise. Americans deserve strong, capable leaders. Leaders who care about this country and care about its people.
Dwayne, that kind of sounds like you and me. I guess we gotta do it. Come on,
drop it.
Let's go!
We're doing it!
This has been a production of WTTP, Take Two High.
WTTP,
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 W Take Two Podcast.